I'm Kurt Benkert, and this is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. Welcome back to another episode of Pocket Presence. This time, we're going to talk Steelers. Mike Tomlin just got a three-year extension. I don't know what amount of money it was for. I did not see those details, but I know he got extended. I will say it was really impressive what he did last year with that roster that he had, that quarterback situation he had, and honestly, the offensive coordinator he started with in the season. It was not good football to watch. The defense was stellar, per usual, and some way, somehow, the Pittsburgh Steelers always have a chance. This year, however, they're going up against three juggernauts in their own division. I think any of those other three teams could win this division. So for the Steelers to make the playoffs alone without winning the division, they're going to need some injuries to happen across the board on other teams in their division and find a way to just squeak out some gritty Pittsburgh wins like they typically do. But the odds are stacked against them this year.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about the Steelers coming to 2024. Last year, they felt to me like one of the least interesting teams in the NFL. Whenever there was a Steelers game on a primetime slot, standalone game, I sort of groaned and thought to myself, I have to watch a really boring football team come out and play. But this offseason, they managed to do some things that I think, at least storyline-wise, will pique my interest. We're going to talk about the quarterback situation today, the offensive coordinator who you have a bit of a history with, Mike Tomlin obviously getting extended, which I saw a lot of discourse from Steelers fans online about how they felt about that. And then you have a defense which is really solid, but before recording, I learned that it was the oldest defense in the NFL last year. So you have this sort of changing of the guard maybe where you have this new crop of players coming on offense and then a defense which is aging out of the window where you can maybe be competitive. But I want to jump in first. The offseason additions that made the most amount of headlines, and I think will be what we're talking about into this offseason. Primarily, Mr. Unlimited, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, of course, the new offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, and then some of his Atlanta Falcon retreads that he brought over. Which sticks out to you as possibly being the most impactful addition of this offseason?
Yeah, I think the most impactful addition that the Steelers have made this offseason on offense is it's got to be Justin Fields, man. I think Russell Wilson, you know you can win games with him, but I don't think that you can just win games in Pittsburgh against the teams you're going to play against consistently with average gameplay or game management. I think you're going to have a guy that can change the game and do those things, right? Like some games your defense is just going to be on and your defense is going to be slaughtering them. They're not going to give up any points and you need 10 to 17 points to win the game. That'll get it done in Pittsburgh some games. Russell Wilson can do that, but I don't know if I trust Russell Wilson at this point in his career and from what we've seen last year to really get them over that hump and be electric and be Mr. Unlimited that he used to claim he was. And I also look at their roster of like Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, they got Cordarrelle Patterson, like George Pickens is their wide receiver one, who George Pickens is a dog. I hope they start feeding him like one because felt like he was only getting three targets a game sometimes last year. And then out of nowhere, he'd have this nasty back shoulder that you know you can't guard. I don't know, man. I look at them across the board on offense and I'm thinking maybe Arthur Smith is the perfect guy with how he calls offensive games to be that weird 8-9 win team this year. Maybe. Like, I don't know. Or it's going to be a complete dumpster fire. And I just don't know if Russell Wilson's gameplay will be able to elevate them enough with how he has to play the game now, what we've seen from him and how he navigates these fourth quarters and whatnot to really be a competitor in the AFC North. I think Justin Fields can be that guy. I think that Justin Fields could really benefit from watching Russell Wilson in the beginning part of the season navigate like a game manager. Justin Fields needs a little bit of game manager in his game himself. And then the sky's the limit with his athletic ability, what he can do with his legs. He runs better than some running backs in the league do. He wasn't even like a crazy runner in college. He's just naturally gifted. So yeah, that's kind of what I look at them on offense. I think Justin Fields could be that hidden gem for them. I also look down on their roster a little bit in the receiver room. Like they got Roman Wilson, who I'm pretty excited to see what he can do. Quez Watkins has shown flashes, but he kind of disappeared the last few years in Philly. And Scotty Miller is lightning in a bottle. So, I mean, they've got definitely a hodgepodge group of guys in their receiving room, adding in Van Jefferson as well, that I think, look, man, Pittsburgh Steelers, it's going to be a ground and pound year. It might not be fun to watch, but it's going to be gritty, and you're going to try to control the clock and not turn the ball over. And it somehow worked for the Denver Broncos last year when they stopped giving up 70 points a game.
You mentioned how Arthur Smith would be a good fit for this team. Could you explain a little bit more what you meant by that?
So I think that Najee Harris is going to need 15 touches on the ground. I think Jaylen Warren's going to need 10 to 15 touches in general, whether it's through the air or on the ground. I think, again, if Justin Fields is playing, he's going to need 5 to 10 rushes a game. And I think George Pickens is going to need some one-on-one. So I think that's kind of how he calls his game plans. And he is ground first, run the play action off of it, hit the boots. Like, he's not going to be airing it out. He's not going to be spreading it out. And I don't know, man. I think if anyone's going to take this roster and fit into what this defense does, it's probably Arthur Smith for a year or two. I think this defense, if they are not on the field all the time, can just eat. I think the offense right now is built to play safe, conservative, time of possession football. And hey, man, that's a recipe that works for some teams in the NFL. And that just might be what this 2024-25 Pittsburgh Steelers team turns into.
Couldn't you make the argument, though, that last year with Kenny Pickens and Kenny the coaching staff they had, that was exactly what they were? So it seems like they just are different for the sake of being different, not because it's actually influencing a different outcome.
Yeah, I think the one thing that really was tough to watch last year with the Steelers offense was that there was very little rhyme or reason and very little real scheming happening up front and in the play design early on, especially. Stopped watching them halfway through the year, to be quite honest. What I will say is that Arthur Smith did have a pretty robust run package, and they ran the shit out of the ball, and he did it in Tennessee as well with Derrick Henry. And if there's one thing that Arthur Smith knows how to do, it's how to run the fucking ball. And I think that maybe the Steelers, that's their best chance to win this year, because they cannot stack up offensively against any other team in their division at all. It's not even close. So fuck it. If you can't do it, own what you can do, and that is run smash mouth football with pulling guards, sometimes two pulling guards, sometimes powers and traps, and, you know, like, be creative in the run game and run some sneaky play action off of it and protect the football. Because at the end of the day, 80% of games that are won in the NFL, around about, are won in the turnover battle. So if they can win the turnover battle and play sticky defense and aggressive defense and shit, even score touchdowns on defense, which that Pittsburgh Steelers defense does, get into field goal range because they have a good kicker, play the possession game, they actually can be a really annoying team to play and win games.
That's sort of the model that Russell Wilson had success with in Seattle very early in his career, right? He had Marshawn Lynch, they had an incredible defense, and they won one Super Bowl and almost won a second one.
Yep.
And it was only once he started becoming Mr. Unlimited and let Russ cook and felt like he needed to throw the ball, did he run into a bunch of these issues. So it will be interesting to see how that balance is struck between letting Russ cook or just having him be kind of this throwback version of himself. But I also think there's this interesting X factor, of course, with Justin Fields, where maybe if you're Arthur Smith, you're thinking, you know, Russ is great. He's fine. He can execute the play action like I'm asking him to. But there's a certain X factor with Justin Fields that opens up a different part of our offense. If you could forecast into the future of this season, how do you think the conversation around that change might happen?
Man, you'll be looking at week 6, and what's their record right now? What's the division's record? Let's go look at their schedule real quick. So you got the Steelers open up week 1 against the Falcons. Go figure. I think they lose that game. That's going to be a better game than people think, though. I think the Falcons are going to take a little bit of time to hit their stride, but I think the Falcons will win that game. So they probably start 0-1. Then they go to Denver and they play against the Broncos, who knows? We don't know what version of Sean Payton's team we're going to get. Could they be 1-1? Could they be, you know, 0-2 potentially? That's two away games to start the season. Things are not like the season schedule wise is not like ideal, I'd say, for the Steelers. But then they play the Chargers. Chargers too, rebuild. What's the deal? I know the Chargers defense is going to be better this year. They can't be much worse. I know the offense is going to be grittier. So I'll say the Steelers win that game. Right now, I'm saying the Steelers are probably going to be 1-2 or 2-1. Then they play the Colts. Colts weren't a terrible team last year, but I think the Steelers beat them because the Steelers are probably just better on defense. So we'll say they're at 2-2. Then you got the Cowboys. I think they lose to the Cowboys. It's at home in Pittsburgh, but I think the Cowboys are a better team, better roster. Okay, so now they're at 2-3. Then you got the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to be a problem this year. I think they're going to be a sneaky problem. They have grit. They have a fun quarterback now. They have a defense that's a real problem. So I'm looking first 6 games of the year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Steelers could find their way into being 2-6. I mean, 2-4 really quickly. Then they play the Jets, 2-4. Oh, man, That could be 2-5. The Jets are going to be good this year. They're one of the best defenses in the league, and Aaron Rodgers is back. But then you play the Giants and the Commanders. Okay, so 2-5. Maybe you go 3-5 and 4-6 or 3-7. Good luck, though, because right after that, your gauntlet begins. And it's a fucking gauntlet. Listen to these games that the Steelers have to end their season. Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Browns, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. They might lose every fucking one of those games. Every single one of them. They have 8 straight games of just pure fucking grit. And I know the Steelers are a good team and all, or a gritty defense mainly. Their offense isn't great. I don't know if their offense is built for any single one of those games they're about to go into. So I'm going to be paying very close attention to this Steelers team, Steelers futures bets, to all of that stuff. And I'm going to say that there's just no way they break 500 this year for the first time in Mike Tomlin's career. I don't see it happening. You, like, of these games, can you find 9 wins? I can't.
It's going to be hard.
It's
going to be hard.
I'm sorry.
And the interesting part, the interesting part is those first 6 weeks. I think that's the perfect time frame, because those are all games where they should be favored in about half of them, or they should be competitive. There aren't any like Chiefs matchups where you're expecting to lose, essentially. These are all toss-up games. And if they come out of that 6-game stretch at the beginning of the season, like you said, 2-4, maybe they're 3-3, you're going to start to ask some questions about, is Russell Wilson the guy, or do we slot in Justin Fields here? Because you're right, that at the end of the season, those last however many games you rattled off, they will not be favored in a single one of them. I mean, that is a gauntlet of all gauntlets. So
yeah, and like, I
mean, it should be interesting.
Again, you play in the toughest division in football right now. It's going to be tough. Add in the out-of-division games of the Eagles and the Chiefs in that last 8 games, and it's like, not to mention, you play all of your division games, all 6 of them, in the last 8 weeks of the season. That's just tough. And I'm writing off the Steelers this year. I'm just writing them off. I think they're going to be gritty. They're going to sneak out some wins that you're like, damn, I shouldn't have bet against them, because they're going to win a game that, like, maybe they'll beat the Eagles. Who knows, right? But I just don't see how the Steelers team this year looks much different than the Broncos team did last year. The Broncos defense was terrible at some points, but really good at others. Like, they let up 70 against the Dolphins, but that was more so like that game just got out of hand, whatever. The Broncos defense was the reason they were winning games most of the year. I think that could be the same for the Steelers. I mean, I don't know what their odds are set at win total wise, but like, there is, I'm sorry, Steelers fans. I'm sorry. At least you got both your quarterbacks that are on your roster right now for free, essentially.
Their win total is 7.5 on the year.
No fucking chance. There's no chance. There's no chance they get 8 wins. Can I find 8 wins on the Steelers schedule? Maybe 1 with the Broncos, maybe 2 with the Chargers, maybe 3 with the Colts, 4 with the Giants, maybe 5 with the Commanders, probably not. That's it. I don't think the Steelers win more than 6 games this year. If they win 7, I'd be shocked, but they won't win 8 games. The Steelers will not win 8 games this year.
And that's an interesting line that Vegas sets, because Tomlin is probably the most consistent coach in NFL history and has 20 consecutive seasons with 8+ wins. Yep. And you mentioned that three-year extension he just inked. The dialogue I see from Steelers fans is so interesting, because on one hand you have, I feel like, a lot of players talking about how incredibly hard it is to have done, you know, to have gone 20 seasons with 8 consecutive wins, never having a losing record. But on the other hand, you have fans that have kind of grown tired of this talking point that he's Mr. Consistent, because I think if there's any place, any city in the NFL where winning seasons, you don't hang banners for winning seasons, Pittsburgh is probably one of those places.
Yeah.
You know, they're expecting divisional championships, deep playoff runs, Super Bowls. And right now they have a coach that's banging the drum on the fact that he can win 8 or 9 games every single year. So how impressive do you see this streak of 20 consecutive seasons with 8+ wins being? Is it something that Steelers fans should be happy about, or do they have a right to be a little sick and tired of this talking point?
To be honest, like, I don't even look at this as a Tomlin problem as much as this is a roster problem. Who manages their roster? How did they let it get to this? Like, you can't look around the league and see what some of these other teams are cooking with and see your kitchen and think you're cooking with the same shit, because you're not. Like, your defense is like that. Your defense is definitely a problem. You have TJ Watt, obviously. You got Patrick Queen, who you just picked up, who I think is going to be a problem. You got Joey Porter Jr., who's a problem. You got Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, like, you got dudes on defense. You still got Cameron Hayward alive and kicking. Like, you got dudes on defense, and you have a good special teams. Your special teams keeps you in games. That's like, that is the wild part about all of this, is that that's the formula. But when you look across the AFC North, you have Deshaun Watson, who at one point was an MVP candidate, considered one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. And to be honest, maybe he returns that this year. He's not like a lost cause. He's had a rough few year stretch with all that's gone on. But you look at Deshaun Watson, you see the capability. You know Lamar Jackson is who he is. You know Joe Burrow is who he is. And then you have Russell Wilson. And this is a quarterback-driven league. And like, if you're going out and you're getting Russell Wilson to lead your team this year, I don't know, man. I'm just like, I don't know. I'd rather, like, they couldn't land Kirk Cousins, obviously. He ended up going to Atlanta. But why did he go to Atlanta? Because they have a fucking stacked offense. They have all-world running back, potential all-world tight end. They got a young stud receiver, and, like, they got a good O-line. So it's just, as awesome as Pittsburgh is as a football city, they're not giving their guys much to cook with and cheer for on offense in terms of the exciting category, as far as I'm concerned. I do think, though, that George Pickens is a dog. I will say that until the end of time. He can do things at receiver that some dudes around the league just cannot do.
And you have to give credit to the Steelers. They are good at pulling diamonds out of the rough when it comes to the wide receiver position.
They find them, they breed them, and then something goes wrong, and it's all over. But I hope it's different for George this time.
Yeah. Well, in the most Steelers way ever, their GM before their current GM, who just took over in 2022, a guy by the name of Kevin Colbert, and I know he had been the GM for a while, but he was their GM from 2000 to 2021, so won two Super Bowls with the team. He's also from Pittsburgh, so he's just like a Pittsburgh lifer that stuck around and managed to be the GM of the team for two decades. But you're right, they're kind of in this spot now where seems like things were getting a little stale. There's a couple quotes from him talking about how teams are overusing analytics, and maybe he's just one of these old school guys that was just stuck in his way, and it was time to move on. I think you see that happen a lot in the NFL, where the same voice gets a little tired.
Dude, that is the NFL, man. Like, it's just the old guys that stick around, in my opinion, are the guys that are willing to take perspective and see other people's point of view that are younger, and they're willing to ask and learn and see, because the game is ever evolving. The people you're dealing with are ever evolving. Like, it's all changing. And the old guys that stick around are the guys that are willing to shake it up and are willing to be different and try new things. And like, why has Andy Reid been so successful? Andy Reid has constantly brought in consultants, college coaches, everything to evolve the game. The way he calls plays today, and you look at his schemes, is way different than he called it 10 years ago. He's always been creative. He's always tried new stuff, and he's always been cutting edge. And a lot of times he's referencing people that are doing things differently in a different lane in college football, in a different field. Like, he's not too sure of himself to say, I cannot get better and I cannot learn and I cannot shake it up.
Is there any blame that you assign Mike Tomlin to these last couple of years of mediocrity, as a lot of fans might say?
I don't necessarily think so. I'm like, as a head coach, again, you can only cook with what you got. Like, I don't know how much he's involved in the free agent process or in the draft process or getting guys in the building, but there's a clear hierarchy or way the business of the NFL runs. GMs and scouting departments bring the players in. Coaches coach the players, and whoever they have, they put the best available product on the field possible to then get the results of winning. And that's the cycle. That's how it works. Coaches can only coach who they have. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, Mike Tomlin's done more with less than a lot of coaches in the NFL have done. And the fact that they've been to the playoffs as many times as they have, the fact that they've put that out on the field, like, I don't know, man. I think he does seem to be getting the best out of his players more consistently than not. You look at some other teams, dude, and you're like, how the hell does that loaded-ass roster suck ass? Chargers. Offense. I was looking at them. Like, Chargers last year, every single season when they had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, they were like, this is the year we're going to get the Chiefs. Hell no, it wasn't. Like, you weren't playing up to your potential. And you can see how hard, especially when you watch the All-22 film, how hard guys play. The Steelers team plays really fucking hard. And that's the culture set by the coach. That's not the culture set by the GM. The GM's not telling you to run through a brick wall for your head coach. And I think if you're talking about getting guys to play hard for a cause, for a purpose, leaving it all out there, Mike Tomlin's gotten his guys to do that. Does Mike Tomlin decide who gets in the building? Maybe a little bit. Probably not, though. That's not really how it works. You hear guys like Matt LaFleur talk about they didn't know a guy was cut or traded until it had already happened sometimes. Like, that's the NFL. It's not the way that people think it works.
Sure. The part that he can affect are his coordinators. Brought in a new one this offseason, Arthur Smith. What do you think the logic is behind bringing in Smith? You mentioned how you see him as a good fit. Do you think the Steelers are bringing him in because of that running game expertise?
I think it's the only play right now. I don't know if there was anyone necessarily more available, better that was available. I think what they need to do this year and what is very clear, if they're going to win games and the style of football they're going to need to play, is it's going to have to be established in between the tackles with your running backs downhill, and they're going to have to mirror what that defense does on offense. And I think the Falcons did that. They just couldn't throw the shit out of the ball. And if the Falcons last year had the Steelers defense, they would have won a few more games and made the playoffs. And I think if that's all you're trying to do is try to get to the you know, postseason play and see what happens, it's a style of play that can definitely win. I mean, look at the Titans, dude. Like, the Titans were not one of the most talented teams in the league, but there's such a shakeup of what teams are used to playing week to week when you can run the ball like that, that it's just a hard matchup. You know what type of game it's going to be. And I think that this is a not last-ditch effort by Mike Tomlin, but this is a, hey, in the building phase of where we're at with transitioning to a new quarterback that's older and this and that, and maybe we need a few years in the draft to really fill the pieces, like, it kind of made sense to me, and I see what he's going for.
So you're seeing this as like a last hurrah, like a last stand. I mean,
yeah.
I think we talked about it before. There are a lot of people in this organization that it seems like it has to work here or else it's not going to work for them in the future. I think you could put Arthur Smith in that category.
Yeah.
You could certainly put Russell Wilson in that category. I know Mike Tomlin just signed a 3-year extension, but we've been talking about his job now for the last 5 years. Like, it seems like it's going to have to work coming up soon here for the Steelers. So why not bring in a guy who's had success as a coordinator before, I guess is the argument.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess I've said what I needed to say about what I think their team is this year. I do think they have some exciting things coming up. And again, look at the Texans, dude. The Texans were terrible and they had one guy come in with the right people around him that completely changed their franchise for the next 10 years. Maybe the Steelers suck ass this year and draft a quarterback next year in the top 10, top five. Maybe they're willing to trade the house for somebody, scoot on up. And this was a basically a free transition year for them where, look, probably not expecting to make the playoffs. Quarterbacks, nobody's really locked in. They were all free. We have a good-ass defense, and we got some young players we're adding this year. Give us a year to add more players next year, maybe the year after, and we're, like, right back to now being where Lamar Jackson's almost 30. Joe Burrow's getting, you know what I mean? Like, Deshaun Watson, who knows what. Like, they got to win their division first. They got to play to win their division. And if they're ready to just start getting younger now, getting the better draft picks now, that's what I'd be thinking long-term. Maybe that's why they signed him to a 3-year extension, Mike Tomlin. Like, you see some of the quarterbacks coming out in next year's draft class. Some of those guys could elevate their team today, but you're also going to need some receivers. You're going to need some running backs. Like, I think the running backs are okay, but running backs also are so easy to replace. Sadly, I hate to say it. There's only a few in the league that are unreplaceable and their production cannot be duplicated. Christian McCaffrey, Chubb, like when he was thriving, some of those guys. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, man. I'm like, also they, well, I want to give a little shout out here. They got the Wilson brothers in the draft this year. They got Roman Wilson, receiver in the third round. And they got my sleeper of the draft, Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State in the third round, who I thought was a first round pick. Found out he plays with no ACL. That was his injury deal. Like, he doesn't have an ACL, I think, or maybe he doesn't have two. I don't know what the full diagnosis is. So that was his like reason for falling, but didn't seem to hurt him. He was balling out, running his low fours, 40s. And just smacking people. And I'm excited to see that style of play that he brings to the table in Pittsburgh. And I hope he can find his way into the starting lineup, because a guy like him next to Patrick Queen with T. TJ Watt on the field, that's the type of gritty defense that I'm like, yo, Baltimore Ravens won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, and they had Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, Ed Reed. Like, they had those dudes. And I'm like, I don't know, man. You can make a run with a good defense, but you've got to play damn near flawless offense and take care of the football. So I don't think it's this year for them, but they're gearing up. I think the Steelers are gearing up.
Yeah, let's close it out here. I think the big storyline this offseason is going to be this quarterback room. Do you think there's going to be discussion of a quarterback battle this offseason? Is it Russell Wilson's job until he loses it in the middle of the year? Or is there a chance that Justin Fields could be the starter week one?
Dude, I mean, you know what's crazy? We're going to watch these guys play in preseason. There's no way Russell Wilson's not playing in preseason this year. They're going to need him to. Like, they can't go into the season without Russell Wilson playing in preseason. Anything can happen in preseason. And I promise you, Justin Fields has zero pressure. We've never seen Justin Fields play without pressure. And he's played some good football in stretches on a bad team. I mean, look at the offense that Justin Fields had to play with, the players he had to play with, like the O-line he was behind. I'm just saying, dude, I think that Justin Fields could be the guy for the Steelers at this point, at some point next year. The only shitty part is that if they start out 2-4 and he comes in, lingering right around that corner is that 8-game gauntlet that one of those guys is going to have to play through. And we should not be judging them based on that 8-game gauntlet. That's all I'm going to say. If you have to play the Ravens twice with their defense, the Browns twice with their defense, the Bengals twice, trying to keep up with them, the Chiefs with their defense, and the Eagles, I'm not going to judge any quarterback too harshly, especially knowing what his offensive situation looks like and with what their play style looks like. So keep that in mind, that when we circle back to all of this later in the year and maybe they start out bad and they bench Russell Wilson and then Justin Fields comes in for a few games, lights it up, then he starts playing the Ravens and the Browns and all that shit. Like, let's not be too harsh on him, because we know what those matchups typically look like for any quarterback that has to play against those defenses. So just keep everything in perspective as we're talking about the Steelers this year, some of these young QBs and what they're going to have to go through.
Okay, Kurt, we try to keep these things positive, these case studies positive. You seemed a little skeptical that the streak of 8+ wins would continue, but I need you to sell a little bit of hope to Steelers fans. They've been struggling in mediocrity for far too long, and I just need you to let them know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Steelers fans, listen up. I'm not here to sell you hope. I'm here to sell you excitement. And what you guys have on defense is really exciting. And when you have a good defense, anything can happen in the NFL. We've seen it time and time again. We've seen the Ravens win with a defense that was star-studded. We've seen other defenses carry their teams all the way through, regardless of how bad their offenses are. And I'm not saying your offense is going to be terrible, but I'm not excited about it. But you have a lot to be excited about on the defensive side of the ball. And just remember, defense can score points too, and so can your kicker. So if you're scoring 17 points plus a game, all things considered, you might be all right. You might make the playoffs, but it's not likely. Good luck next year. It's
okay.
Hard.
Well,
it's hard. I couldn't even fake it.
A bit of a somber tone. I mean, for Steelers fans, to wrap this episode up, a stat I pulled before this recording, that they only gave up 7.6 points on average in the second half last year, which was the third best in the league. Now, in the first half, the defense was 27th in EPA, but in the second half, they really turned it on. So if you can just hang around, you'll be okay. And maybe we have a little Russell Wilson resurgence where this is like Legion of Boom part two. Like, let's get a fun nickname for the defense. Russell Wilson plays clean football. And I think there's a bit of hope that we could sell.
Yeah, there's something there. Like, we'll know. Like, I'm skeptical. But again, if you can't score points on that defense, you can't win the game anyways. So I think Russell Wilson can score you 7 to 14 points a game. Like, give him 7 to 9 drives in a game. He'll probably give you 7 to 14. So,
yeah,
show up, defense. Show up. You get paid,
too. We can help. Well, yeah, they get paid. They get paid to play football, too.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with another case study. Let us know in the comments a team that you might want us to break down. We've been well-traveled through the AFC North. So, maybe a team that's out of left field. Maybe a team that not a lot of people are talking about. Could be fun to break down. But let us know. We'll be back next Friday with another episode.
See you then.